Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this Friday, December the 18th. Believe it or not, 1 week from today is Christmas. Mr. Tom Fairbanks is engineering and producing the show. Tom, have you done all of your Christmas shopping?
I think I have. I think for my kids, I really don't know exactly what they want. You know, they're grown ladies with their own families. So I just send them a check and say, get yourself something that you'd like.
That seems like a wise decision. Mr. Tom Fairbanks will be on the other side of the glass today, engineering, producing, and giving us some kind of our 60s, early 70s bump music, which will have a Christmas theme today. Want to do a big shout out on Friday to our media partners, Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Thank you very much. Inside Tucson Business, TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson Lifestyle Magazine and their website, TucsonLifestyle.com, and the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Thank you all for putting a link to the Buckmaster Show on the homepage of your particular news publications. Our guest today will be Jim Small. Mr. Small is the editor of the award-winning Phoenix-based Arizona Capital Times. With me in studio to talk with Jim, Linda Valdez is here, editorial columnist for the Arizona Republic. Linda, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. Very well, thank you.
Editorial writer and columnist. I think I left out the word writer, but that's your title.
I'm both. Yes, I'm both.
And we're delighted to have you. Dan Scheer will be joining us momentarily, of the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, on his way up from Green Valley. There was some kind of an accident on the freeway, which delayed Dan's travel, but he'll be walking in the door momentarily. So let's go now on the live line to Jim Small. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing very well. The big story, kind of statewide political news, Susan Bitter Smith yesterday announcing her resignation from the five-member Arizona Corporation Commission. That is effective January the 4th. On November 30th, Attorney General Mark Brnovich filed a request with the state Supreme Court that she be removed from office because of a controversy surrounding her multiple jobs and allegations of conflict of interest. Jim, was this resignation expected?
There were people have been saying for months that they didn't think Susan Bitter Smith was going to make it out of this whole situation with her office intact, that she was going to be out of office one way or the other. But every indication had been from Susan Bitter Smith's camp that she was going to fight this, and so the fact that it happened yesterday was actually a surprise. It was a very hastily called press conference. I think it was like a 2 o'clock in the afternoon press conference. I think we found out about it. Everyone found out about 1 o'clock. Everyone showed up not knowing what was going to happen. And when she got up there, less than 24 hours earlier, her attorney had filed a legal brief with the Arizona Supreme Court and basically, said that Attorney General Brnovich was dead wrong in his allegations and that they were going to fight these things tooth and nail. So for her to immediately turn around and announce that she was resigning really was a shock, I think, to the Phoenix political community.
Here's Linda Valdez.
Hi, Jim. About the resignation. Now, she still contends, as you pointed out, that she did not have a conflict of interest. And I'm wondering, is this still going to be reviewed by the Supreme Court? There seems to be some disagreement about whether they will continue because it's moot, or will they look at the issue for some larger reason?
Yeah, I think that still remains to be seen. You know, one of the points that Susan Bitter Smith made yesterday was, even though I'm leaving office, I intend to defend myself in court, and I'm going to fight this thing and see it all the way through to the end. Personally, I think that's a bit disingenuous because, when Mark Brnovich announced that he was trying to remove her from office, he was asked that question. He said, well, what if she resigns? Is this something that you're going to pursue? And his answer at the time was no, because my goal is to get Susan Bitter Smith out of office one way or another because I feel that she is violating the law. So I think as far as he's concerned, Oh, and granted, we haven't gotten an official answer from their office since what happened yesterday, but I think the general assumption is that his office will drop its pursuit of trying to get her removed from office. I wouldn't be surprised to see them file something with the Supreme Court saying, okay, thank you, we appreciate your time, sorry for wasting your time, I guess, more or less, and we're going to go ahead and drop this case and not pursue it anymore because the office is now vacant.
Here's Dan Scherer, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun.
Hey, Jim. Susan Bittersmith has been around since the 80s. I mean, she has just, if you're at all tied to Phoenix, you have been hearing that name forever. She's been involved in a lot of public service and everything. Are we going to see anything after this with her? You think she's going to just exit public life?
In terms of running for elected office, I'm not quite sure what else is out there for her at the given time, at the current time. Certainly she's run for Congress a number of times in the district that David Schweikert currently occupies, and so I would imagine there's certainly a possibility that whether it's this coming election, the Senate race with David Schweikert, or some future election where he seeks higher office, that office could open up again, and perhaps she'd be in a position to run for it. But I think right now she's probably a little bit politically tarnished. I think even though these are pretty Byzantine rules that she's accused of violating, very strict conflict of interest policy, much stricter than you have elsewhere in government life. I get the sense that there's probably not a whole lot of appetite from the political establishment to necessarily stand behind her, or certainly not to stand behind her on this, and probably not even to stand behind her on running for some other office.
The folks here in Southern Arizona, Jim Small, would love to see someone from Southern Arizona appointed to that position. Our friend Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star this morning put out five names from Southern Arizona. I'll go over them really quickly. Ted Voigt, a former state representative, Leah Marquez Peterson, who heads up the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Jonathan Payton, former lawmaker and member of the Rio Nuevo board down here, Juan Ciscamonte, who right now represents Governor Ducey as his Southern Arizona director with an office here in Tucson, former state Senator Al Melvin, who is already running for the Corporation Commission in 2016, and former Pima County Supervisor Mike Boyd. Do you think there's a shot that we'll get a Southern Arizona name in the mix here?
I think there certainly is a chance. I think the two names that most people are talking about as potential nominees, and I don't know how much of this is informed speculation. I suspect most of it's just kind of people picking their brains to try to figure out who might be on the short list. But I think Ted Voigt and Al Melvin probably make the most sense. Al Melvin, of course, is already running, as you said, and he did run for governor in 2014, but he also was the first one to get out of the way, and he very quickly endorsed Governor Ducey and was a supporter of Ducey's throughout the campaign. And Ted Voigt, of course, worked in the administration until just a few months ago. He was actually the director of operations for the governor's office. He's very close with the governor and with the governor's chief of staff, Kirk Adams.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the upcoming legislative session. What is the marquee issue going to be? Will it be education?
Doubtful. They did the settlement issue in special session, so I don't expect that there will be much focus on the broader education world the broader K-12 funding pool. I think that there are certainly Democrats and public school advocates are going to fight for it and push for additional funding, but I don't think this legislature is going to be in any kind of a mood to do so. I think in part because they want to make sure that the special election passes and that the litigation gets taken care of before they commit extra money to public schools. But I think also in part because I think that they're just generally predisposed to not give extra money to public schools. That being said, two education issues that I think will have will play a pretty major role is going to be funding for higher education. There's going to be an attempt. There is a concerted effort by the university system to try to reverse the $99 million in cuts that they took in the last budget. And then also JTEDs, the technical education districts that do career and technical education for high school students, they took a very big cut. It hasn't taken effect yet. It'll take effect in July. But they are basically in a position where they need to have some budget security for the upcoming school year, and they need to have that by February. So they are pushing for a very quick resolution, quick reversal of a lot of these cuts, cuts that were sold as having a very minimal impact, but in fact are threatening to close down most of the JTED districts in the state. That is, I think, going to be, at least early on, a major talking point.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. Jim Small is with us. He is the editor of the Arizona Capital Times. When we come back, Linda Valdez and Dan Scheer will each be questioning, joining in the questioning of Jim as we talk about the upcoming legislative session. But right now we take our break as we push toward 1215. 790-2040 is our live line number. If you would like to join in the conversation, you can find us on Facebook at Bill Buckmaster and on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. We will be right back.
So this is Christmas. What have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun.
The Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl is Tucson's bowl game. Don't miss Nevada taking on Colorado State. Catch all the action December 29th at Arizona Stadium. This is your bowl game, Tucson. Don't miss it. Great tickets still available at azbowlgame.com.
Give local, keep local. That's what you can do by donating to a qualified charitable organization by December 31st. The money you'd otherwise pay in Arizona state taxes can benefit a local charity of your choice. Claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit for 2015 by donating up to $400 for couples filing jointly and up to $200 for individuals. It's easy. Just go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. Choose an organization like Youth on Their Own and Teen Outreach Pregnancy Services and make your gift today. Zoo Lights, presented by BMO Harris Bank at Reed Park Zoo, is guaranteed to put you in the winter spirit with jingle bells, twinkling lights, falling snow, and Santa. Light displays, animal-themed-like sculptures, and thousands of sparkling bulbs are guaranteed to make Zoo Lights be a part of your holiday tradition. Every night from December 4th through the 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. with encore nights December 26th and 27th. $9 for adults, $5 for children with special discounts for zoo members. See reedparkzoo.org for details.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl is Tucson's bowl game. Don't miss Nevada taking on Colorado State. Catch all the action December 29th at Arizona Stadium. This is your bowl game, Tucson. Don't miss it. Great tickets still available at azbowlgame.com.
Greeting cards have all been sent. The Christmas rush is through. But I still have one wish to make. A special one for you. Merry Christmas.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. My favorite of all the Karen Carpenter Christmas music, Merry Christmas, Darling, from the early 70s. Normally we do kind of 60s bump music, but we're close enough. In that regard here is we're kind of highlighting some of that era and the music from Christmas, which is now 1 week from today. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. My name is Bill Buckmaster. Dan Shear is here, editor of the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. Dan is with me in studio along with Linda Valdez. Linda, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Republic. And on our live line, Jim Small is the editor of the Arizona Capital Times. Linda Valdez, go ahead. You're with Jim.
Jim, there's been talk about phasing out desegregation funding for districts and also phasing out bonds and overrides. Is that something the legislature is going to look at, or are they going to wait for the governor's task force that's looking into education funding, or is this all going to happen together?
Desegregation funding was actually an issue this past session. It will definitely be back. It was stopped. In fact, the superintendent of TUSD, it was a very late night hearing. It was like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning committee hearing. He gave an impassioned speech about why the legislation at hand would have basically forced TUSD in particular to violate a federal court order and would have been a big disaster. And the committee actually killed the bill. My understanding is it will come back this year in some form. It may be designed to exempt TUSD and I think maybe Phoenix Union as well. I think that they're also under a court order. But there's a couple of districts that I think will probably be exempted, but I think on the whole they're going to try to push to eliminate the ability of districts to levy those segregation funds, or the desegregation funds, excuse me. As for getting rid of bonds and overrides, I think that's probably an overarching goal that a lot of people would like to have happen. But in order to do that, you really have to fundamentally redesign the way that the school finance system works. And I think at a minimum, it's going to take waiting for that Classrooms First Council to come out with their recommendations. But even once they do that, it's still a matter of getting all of the various stakeholders at the table to agree to something. For those of us, unlike myself, who were around in 1980 when they redid the school finance system, it essentially took everybody coming to the table, everyone agreeing to it, and then going out and selling it to their various constituencies. And I think absent that, there's not going to be any kind of major reform that completely reshapes the way school funding works.
All right, here's Dan Shear of the Green Valley News, Sarita Sun.
Well, in May, of course, we have that special election Prop 123, which will fund education through the state land trust. And State Treasurer Jeff DeWitt has brought up concerns that the governor's plan eats into the principal, and that seems to be the primary objection at this point. Do you think that argument is really going to resonate with voters, or what is your thought on how that election might go?
I think it's probably only going to resonate with voters if there's someone who ponies up some money to communicate that to voters in something more than whatever Treasurer DeWitt can do through the media. The reality is, I think, that all of the major groups between the business community and the education community and the governor's office and the Republican Party are all behind this issue, and they're all going to spend the money that they think it's going to take to get this passed. I think there's little doubt that it does eat into the principle of the trust land. I think the question then at that point for voters and for everybody going forward is whether that is worthwhile, whether that's a good thing to do, or is it risking too much? The other option, there really aren't any other practical options on the table right now for how to settle this lawsuit. The legislature has said time and time again that it's unwilling to spend the money from the general fund, so this may be kind of a take it or leave it scenario for voters.
If education isn't the big issue, what will be the big issue for this legislative session? And will it be, as Chris Ackerley, state lawmaker who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, said and predicted, it will be one of the shortest sessions on record? What do you say?
I think the closer we get to the session, I'm actually kind of thinking that the big issue for me is how long will this session be? Will it be a quick one or a long one? I'm tending to think that it's definitely going to be on the quicker side. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some fights about, various issues. There always are. I'd expect to see some legislation trying to cut off state funding to Planned Parenthood somehow in a manner that's different from what the court already rejected and the federal court said we can't do. I'd expect to see, some legislation involving the liquor industry about wine and distilled spirits made in Arizona to deregulate them a little bit. There's going to be some tax issues. We're talking about the desegregation issue. I'm sure that there's going to be some tax cut proposals. A flat tax proposal, I know, is being worked on and is going to be out there. But in terms of kind of a marquee issue, I think most everybody 3 months ago would have said it was going to be education and working toward a settlement on this lawsuit. But now that that's taken care of, I think that really kind of takes the wind out of the sails for what most people thought was going to be the defining issue of the legislative session.
Linda Valdez.
You mentioned Planned Parenthood, and I'm thinking about a couple of other issues that are sort of perennials at the legislature, guns being one, and the other one that has come up before, which will probably be more intensive now because of the Supreme Court's ruling on same-sex marriage, which is the concerns of the religious liberty concerns of those who want to be exempted from providing services to same-sex couples. What can we expect to see on those fronts?
Yeah, there's going to be something. I Doug Ducey was obviously on the campaign trail, and even last session did not want to see a repeat of that Senate Bill 1062 from a couple of years ago. But there's going to be, I'm sure, some kind of a legislation that gets put forward and supported by the Center for Arizona Policy regarding religious freedom. It'll be a matter of what kind of a balance gets struck. The big business groups, the state chambers, the local chambers, they don't want Arizona to go through what we went through with that 1062 issue. That was, I think, a black eye for the state. So they're obviously going to be wary about it. But you do have, the Center for Arizona Policy is very powerful. They wield a lot of influence down at the Capitol. So it'll be interesting to see what shape that takes. Governor Ducey is very, very closely aligned with both Kathy Herod at Center for Arizona Policy and with the Arizona State Chamber, so his loyalties may be divided a little bit on that issue. And as far as guns, there will absolutely be gun legislation. First one I'd expect to see, or the most prominent one, I think, is going to be guns on college campuses. It's been something that's been pushed in various forms or another over the last decade. I think really since the Virginia Tech shooting was following that, was kind of the first time I remember seeing that legislation get some momentum behind it. Following the shooting that we had at the Oregon Community College campus, I think that you can expect to have people use that as an example as to why Arizona needs to follow in the footsteps of Texas and some of the other states that have recently allowed guns to be on college campuses.
Here's Dan Scheer.
On the Buckmaster Show this week, Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez bemoaned the fact that a third of our property taxes go to the state and we're not seeing a fair return, at least in his estimation. Is that a common concern for counties out there, and can anything be done to address it?
Counties across the state are concerned about the amount of cost that the state has shifted over the last 6-7 years onto their shoulders. In terms of the property taxes, that is an issue that's probably more unique to Pima County than anywhere else, only because Pima County is so reliant on property taxes. All of the other counties generally use the sales tax, and obviously Pima doesn't. So that's a more acute issue for your county. But the counties have consistently, going back to the days of Jan Brewer and the Great Recession, have carped about the legislature, putting forward a quote unquote balanced budget and saying, well, look, you're not really balancing the budget. You're shifting a cost onto us and telling us we have to now pay for something that's always been your responsibility. I don't know that we're going to see any more of that going forward. The budget is stable. The state has revenues. They don't seem to be in a mode of cutting government and cutting some of those costs. But I also don't see them really having a disposition toward going back and taking some of those responsibilities back. I think now they're on the counties, and that's probably where they're going to stay.
The budget, do we have a budget surplus? Can you tell us what that is as we go into the session next month?
Yeah, the latest estimate is somewhere around, I would say, about $250 million or so of money that theoretically is going to be permanent revenues. I think they've got about $450 million, $500 million, somewhere in that ballpark, of overall revenues. Some of it is just one-time money. So the recommendation from their budget analyst is, if it's a bonus, you don't go spend it on, a new car, on a monthly car payment. You go spend it on something you're going to pay for once. Of that $225-$250 million in permanent revenues, there's a lot of discussion about what to do with it. They certainly could use it to backfill some of the cuts they've made in recent years. They could use it to put it in the rainy day fund to save it for the next recession. And economists have certainly been saying that we look to be, sometime in the next 3-4 years, we may well be heading back into another recession. The economic cycle may be coming to an end. Or tax cuts are always a favorite option of this Republican legislature.
All right, Jim Small, we will let you go and enjoy the holiday, Jim, and thank you for being a contributor to this program. We really appreciate your efforts.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, and happy holidays to all of you.
Thank you very much.
Same to you, Jim.
Jim Small, the editor of the Arizona Capital Times, based in Arizona's capital, up in Phoenix. Coming up now on 12:32 on the Buckmaster Show, Linda Valdez and Dan Scheer will stick around, and we're going to talk, review a little bit of the year, look ahead, and that will be on our Friday roundtable right after we hear from, I think it's Andy Williams, right? With one of those great songs, A Wonderful Time of the Year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Hi, Financial Whiz Kid here with some tax advice for you. This year, you can make a charitable gift to Christian Family Care and help provide safe foster homes and caring parents for kids who really need them. The Arizona Foster Care Tax Credit lets you donate hundreds of dollars to this worthy cause and take a state tax credit for all of it, so there is no expense to you. And chances are, you can claim it on your federal taxes too. It's so simple, even a kid can do it. To learn more, visit fostercarecredit.org. That's fostercarecredit.org.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and Hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Quick question, Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Is that Darlene Love?
Yes, sir, it is.
Of the Ronettes, right?
Yes, yes. One of Phil Spector's groups.
Yeah.
The Big Wall of Sound,
yeah,
Phil
thank
Spector.
You. Thank you for digging that one up out of the vault. That's called Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. We're home right here on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, live streaming the program at buckmastershow.com. You don't need to be by a radio these days if you're around a computer. I constantly get people who say, oh, I wanted to hear that segment. I missed the show. Well, you can hear any of the programs and any of the segments because we've got them all podcast at buckmastershow.com. Our five-year anniversary, the first week of January, my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, has done such a great job. We have all of our, just about all of the programs, Dan Scheer and Linda Valdez, archived over the five-year period. Hard to believe, five years already.
And I tell you, we need to remind people, you break a lot of news on these programs.
Well, we sure try. I think we did yesterday, Linda, with the Cathedral Square announcement from Bishop Gerald Kakanis. There's a building called the Marist College building downtown. It's a three-story adobe structure, one of the largest, I believe, that's left standing in Arizona. It's been crumbling. The bishop announced it will be restored, and it looks like it will become senior housing.
That's such a fabulous thing for downtown Tucson.
It is
wonderful. It really is. And for them to put that kind of energy into that area is going to make a huge difference. And also to get some good residential downtown is also very important.
Yeah, there's four buildings. There's a little chapel that's going to be restored. And it's all very close to the cathedral. So that's an area that had kind of been needing attention that's going to get attention. Dan Scheer, what's your top story of the year? Let's get right at it in your area.
Well, you know, I think our top story of 2015 is going to be the top story of 2016, and that is our mine closures. And, you know, again, roughly 1,000 jobs, and about a third of those people live in either Green Valley or Sahuarita, and it's going to affect pretty much every aspect of our community, from schools to retail to housing. So we are looking at that closely. I was in a meeting yesterday where a mine representative was there and said, look, it's a 70-year mine. It's, you know, it's going to reopen. They didn't say it quite that clearly, but when it does, it's going to take a year to 18 months to get it up to speed, because you got to bring all these employees back, have absolutely no idea when that might be, but they certainly are not abandoning the area. And again, there are going to be 250 people still working there. But that is a huge issue for us on lots of levels, and we're going to be covering that all year long.
Yeah, one of the levels that people keep asking about, Linda, how will this impact the proposed Rosemont mine? And on the surface, I guess that's not going to impact the permitting process. And we're going to be expecting the Army Corps of Engineers. Some really important decisions are going to come down after the first of the year concerning the future of Rosemont.
Well, mining is such a cyclical industry that just because one is closing now does not mean that they don't want to continue developing for the future. So we'll see them pushing ahead on that and on the Resolution mine as well.
What did you put at your top story of the year?
I think my top story of the year has to be the settlement of the education lawsuit. That is really going to have far-reaching impact, and it's one of those double-edged sword sort of things. It was very important to get that lawsuit settled so that we could move on beyond that. That was hanging over the head of the legislature and education funding. But, of course, the schools did not get as much as the court said that they were owed under the 2000 initiative, then when voters said they needed to be funded for inflation. They settled for a lower amount. And the money, of course, as you mentioned earlier, is going to come from the state land trust. And there is some controversy over whether that's too big of a hit on the trust. The real big question in this is whether the legislature and the governor are going to basically say, well, now we're done with K-12 funding. And obviously this is not enough. This does not restore the schools to where they were before the recession. It does not put them in a good position to move forward. So, and of course it hangs on the voters and whether they approve that in May. What may complicate that is if, as Jim mentioned, this is another quick legislative session, it could be done in March. If the legislature doesn't provide any money to education, K-12 education, how is that going to impact voters? Are they going to be resentful? Are they going to not vote for? I mean, there's so many things in play with this.
Jim Kelly, our friend, is on the live line. Jim, join us at 790-2040. Jim, what's on your mind today?
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to talk to your panel because one of the last things that Jim Small talked about was the budget surplus and doing a one-time purchase as opposed to going out and buying a new car, with, you know, 6 years of payments. And one of the things I want to talk about is something that's not sexy at all politically, and that is upgrading the information technology infrastructure of the state, statewide, every agency, including the Department of Education and all the school districts, to a 21st century standard that is much more user-friendly and people can access the information quicker and manipulate the information a lot easier than they can now because of the non-standardization of all the various programs and computer infrastructure that exists in the state.
Yeah,
and that's going to cost a lot of money. And John Uphenthal a couple of years ago said around $200 million.
Hmm.
So that's my encouragement, is that people start talking about something that isn't sexy but is necessary.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Certainly TUSD and a lot of the other districts are using really old technology, Linda.
Well, that's true. There is a lot of the state that's using old technology. The roughly $250 million that they are considering spending, though, there is a long list of people that are waiting for that money, far more than there is money. The Department of Child Safety, for example, wants $100 million to continue their improvements. And so I don't know that one's going to rise to the level, but certainly is something the state needs.
Dan?
I can't speak to standardization, but I can talk about our individual school districts. And you have what you're providing for the students and then what you're providing for the administration. And pretty much school districts are kind of left to their own devices to provide the money for the upgrades. And both of our districts down there, Continental and Saurita, have done that. Recently, they're trying to make it easier for parents to communicate with teachers and with administration and all of that. So they're, like so many things, we've got to kind of fix it ourselves. But standardization on that state level, really, really good question.
The hospital opening has got to be one of your other big stories.
That is. We had a new hospital open up in May. They just last week opened up some more beds, so I think they're up to about, I don't know, 30, 35 of the 49 beds that they will eventually have open. Now that we have all the winter visitors coming back, more of those are going to open. But, you know, opening a hospital is one thing. Getting through the first year is another, because of all the insurance and having money come in and cash flow and everything. And so they're getting there. It is quite a feat to do this. It's not over yet. And every month it seems they're offering more services, and people are absolutely thrilled that it's there. There have been some hang-ups, but not a big deal. Everyone's glad it's there.
Linda, the economy always has to be a top story of the year, and will of course be in 2016, being an election year.
Yes, indeed, and we seem to be recovering, maybe not as fast as we should be, but the budget is certainly in better shape. The state is in better shape than it has been for some time. The governor is still committed to cutting taxes, so how much money there will actually be to work with in the future is another big question.
The dismal 2015 as far as Tucson job growth, that was put forward in the annual report from Dr. Hammond, Dr. George Hammond, who succeeded Marshall Vest at the University of Arizona Eller College in the forecasting unit. Dan, it's only slightly better in 2016, the forecast.
Right, and I think he said that we added over 6,000 jobs, and the employment growth rate was around 1.5%. He was trying to put a good face on it. I mean, we are coming back, but it is very slow. Remember last summer we had Tucson ranking number 9 in the Distressed Communities Index, which was published by a group called the Economic Innovation Group, and that wasn't, I don't think, a surprise to a lot of people, but Phoenix was 11th. But what's interesting is that you have to take Tucson, and then you have to take the surrounding communities separately. And so if they're talking about just the city of Tucson, I can understand that. But we have some communities around Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, Vail, Saurita, that are thriving or doing better. Not that they haven't had their struggles, and we are bouncing back slowly, but they're doing better.
And the Indian nations are also, their struggle, it's just kind of a perennial thing. They struggle so much that when they look at that ranking, that top 10 kind of dismal economic picture, people don't realize they're taking the whole metropolitan area into consideration.
Right, right. And you know what? The bottom line is, at least we're not Detroit.
Yeah. There you go. So we've got an election year. And going back to this election in May, on the surface, Linda Valdez, it seems like it's kind of a no-brainer that people would say, oh, from what we're seeing with the polling, that people want more money for education, they want it for teachers. But you never know. Coming up on a special election, you may have a very low turnout, and who knows what the climate will be economically at that point.
Well, that's a good point. I think the one thing that might torpedo it is the concerns about the state land trust, and also I think any residual resentment if people begin to feel like that the governor is tapping this, and yet the legislature is not willing to put in any money to education. I think there may be some resentment. That's why I mentioned the budget and how that plays out could make a big difference. And as Jim mentioned, if anyone puts up any money to oppose this, that could also turn things.
And whether or not Diane Douglas will speak out against it, she was with me in studio a couple of weeks ago, and I asked her, are you voting yes? You're the superintendent of schools for the state of Arizona. And she said, no, I'm not ready to make a commitment. So if she comes out against it, who knows?
She doesn't have much credibility, however. She's kind of a divisive force. But she has called for more funding for education.
Right.
But she has also expressed concerns about this as the source of it.
All right, we're going to wrap it up right here. Dan Scheer and Linda Valdez, thank you both very much for your support of this program. You make our Friday program, you add a lot of enhancement to it. I appreciate the work both of you do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill, and congratulations on 5 fabulous years.
Thank you very much. Been a great run, and we'll look forward to launching into year 6 the first week of January. So Merry Christmas to both of you.
Thank you.
You very much.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell will be coming up right after this.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree.
Hey, sports fans, this is Ken Flower. I'm here with a couple of friends, and we have great news. Now, you guys tell them.
Woo! It's game time, Arizona. December 29th, the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl.
Hey, that's my pal Ali Farhang, the world-famous attorney, and he's hanging out with me, Mark Irvin. Mark Irvin Commercial Real Estate Services, two of the co-founders for the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl.
Mark, I'm so excited. After so many years, a bowl game is back in Tucson.
You know, you got to really appreciate all the people that have stepped up to help us. Arizona Party Rental is a good example of that.
I can't wait to see what they put together for the downtown block party on December 28th and the game on December 29th.
You know, you can always plan those guys to get in, get set up, get things torn down when they're done, and leave things exactly the way they had it.
An event like this really can't be put on without really good community advocates like Arizona Party Rental.
Hey, thanks to you guys, and thanks for making this happen. And thanks for making Tucson a better place to live. Arizona Party Rental. We'll see you December 29th.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
What if our future is space? Experience Mars and beyond at Biosphere 2 every Saturday at our weekly What If special event during December. Growing food on Mars and seeing beyond the solar system are just a few of the adventures you can experience. Come visit the must-see wonder of the world today. Info at biosphere2.org. It's time for Weekend Watch, the one-week edition before Christmas, brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. So much to do, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Great time to take a road trip. Lots to do. You can go hiking, go shopping in historic downtown Silver City, and just kind of hang out. Really mild days over there and chilly nights, but why not? It's a beautiful area of the United States, southwest New Mexico. Great places to stay, like Casitas de Gila Guest Houses and Fayetteville Hot Springs Resort. The full listing of great places to stay and the many things to do on their website, Southwest New Mexico. Matt Russell, the Inside Tucson food and Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, joins us now, and award-winning publicist, and he's in the right place, a city that North America, well, I guess the United Nations, Matt, has named as kind of the food capital of North America.
Yeah, this is great, Bill. Something that you and I and all of our neighbors across Southern Arizona have known for years. We are now getting international attention as being a city of gastronomy, the only city of gastronomy in North America. We are so proud of that designation.
Gastronomy, we are number one. All right, we've got, it seems like every week here on Weekend Watch, we tell you about an opening, and I think you've got another one.
Yeah, you know, in my personal food pyramid, barbecue, bourbon, and beer are three of the basic food groups. So you can imagine my excitement, Bill, later today when Brother John's Barbecue, Bourbon, and Beer officially opens its doors over on Stone, just south of Grant, in that old Wildcat House space. These guys are kicking out some beautiful meat, slow smoke, from ribs to brisket, everything in between. Plus, they also feature one of the largest whiskey menus around. I'm talking nearly 200 selections. Oh. As well as an impressive lineup of craft beers. Roll up your sleeves and follow the smoke to Brother John's today, 5 o'clock.
It's a football weekend. A lot of people will be watching the game over in Albuquerque, the New Mexico Bowl.
Sure, you know, there's a lot of great places in town to root the Wildcats on to their New Mexico Bowl victory, but you may consider just hanging out at home with your friends and let Blanco do all the work when it comes to feeding the fans. Now, these guys have a party pickup menu featuring the Blanco Bundle, which of course I call the Bear Down Bundle, packed with everything you need to feed from 10 to 20 hungry people. Chips, salsa, rice, beans, salads, and of course, Blanco's famous tacos. You provide the beers, Blanco will provide the food, and the Wildcats will provide the win. Call Blanco today to place your order.
How about a head start on the holidays with a nice Sunday brunch?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Bill. One of my favorite go-to places for brunch is Prep and Pastry on North Campbell, and I think this Sunday is the perfect day to give them a try if you haven't yet. From simple breakfasts to biscuits and gravy to my favorite, the pork belly breakfast sandwich, I think you're going to find something that speaks to you, including some innovative cocktails that are musts for brunch. Doors open on Sunday morning at 8 for brunch at Prep and Pastry. So
all
good.
Right. We'll look for the Inside Tucson business column, which will be about...
Yeah, you know, we've got a little cold spell here in Tucson. Has me looking for the kinds of flavors that warm the soul. I sat down with a local chef for his insights into cold weather cuisine, which you can read all about in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
Merry Christmas to you, Matt. Thank you for your service to this program, my friend.
My pleasure. Merry Christmas, Bill.
Thanks. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our whole team here at KVOI, including station owners Doug and Mary Martin, our operations manager Ray Allen, who also is the producer for me 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, then Tom Fairbanks producing on Friday, producer ace Jerry Cross, Ed Alexander, and the whole team, my executive assistant Rosemary Brandt, have a safe, wonderful, and a Merry Christmas.